It's a blessing to stand here and minister to you. And to just be the mouthpiece of God. 10 or 11 years ago, we were sent from the Philippines to here. Can we show the map of the Philippines? See? Very small. And look at that. That red thing there. It looks like a man, right? And he's not just standing, but he's walking with a drawn sword. Can you see that? A man walking with a drawn sword. And I remembered there was one prophet from here. They operate on prophetic anointing, and he prophesied. I think that's Mary and Bill Hammond. They prophesied that I see people there, missionaries not coming to the Philippines, but Philippines walking, spreading the good news. I never thought I would be one of that. And now I realize that in 1995, I was sharing to Pastor Dave that there was one from the ministry of David Jeremiah. There was one pastor who prayed for me and Renan, and he gave this prophetic prayer. In fact, I have it, 1995, and he said, I saw you both ministering to nations. We were there then in the Philippines. I saw you ministering to nations. And I saw boxes of medicine, boxes of food. And when I heard it just now, because I saw the tape, he said, wow, I will really have to hear this again. Because that was in 1995, now it's in 2012, see? So we were one of those who came here to minister to nations. And you might wonder why we have all Filipino standing here and ministering. Because this would be our last Sunday, because next Sunday we would be going back to the Philippines as missionary of Embassy Church. Hallelujah! Let me give you a brief fact about the Philippines. It's a beautiful country. In July 2012, we're the 12th most populous country in the world. That's why anywhere you can see Filipinos. In 2000 census, I think, evangelical is only 2.8%. Catholic is 83%. That's Manila. That's the capital city of the Philippines. There are three main islands, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. We are at the center. We say we are the heart of the nation. We live at the heart of the nation. Manila is the brain. That's why there were so many brilliant people in Manila. We're the heart. Hallelujah. And our hearts beat for people. So we will be going there about 18 hours from here. But we are so happy to go back there and to minister again, bringing Embassy Church. And we call it the Joy Ministry. Most of the members of the Filipino Life Group are sponsors of indigent children, poor families. We have feeding program. And Joy sponsors, can you please stand? Those who sponsor those children. There you go. And that's it. Yeah, that's the fellowship. That's a church that we founded 20 years ago. We have three services. We have 10 satellite churches. And we have two services in the morning, one youth ministry in the afternoon. So we started 80 people in a police department chapel, because my father, who also is a pastor, happens to be a policeman. So place microphone down there on the jail, and when we say, are you ready to praise the Lord? You know, the prisoners, they would say, we are ready to praise the Lord. But it's not vacation, because when we go there, we are going to have 20th church anniversary. You know, Sunday I will be preaching on church anniversary. They do it every March, but because we're going home, so we will do it on May. And on May 25th, the God encounter for men and women. We will be bringing God encounter there and the whole family. Brother Renan and the three children will be ministering. Hallelujah. On May 27, Sunday, we are hosting Couples Night. For the encounter, we have signed in about 40 people already, and they, please include us, but we can only do 40 people. Now, May 27, Sunday, Couples Night, there would be about 40 couples that would be attending. June 1st, Summer Youth Camp, the children will be speaking to 700 to 1,000 kids. So, I am presenting this because I need your prayer. It's a big task. It's a big work. And then we have Joy Ministry feeding every weekend. So, from the Philippines to here, here to the Philippines, it still be working for the Lord. So let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Father, I am so grateful, God, because indeed, Lord, you are not done with our lives. But you promised, Lord, that you will, what you have started, Lord God, you will finish. It's not about us, Lord, but it's about you. And it's only by grace, oh God, by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for involving us in your work. We thank you for the people who have rallied behind us. We thank you for this church, Lord God, who has given us the privilege, Lord, of serving you in our own way, Lord, in our own capacity. Lord, we, even for today, Lord, as you give your word, Lord God, thy servant, Lord, is just a mouthpiece. So receive all the glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Pastor Dave was talking about saving grace last week. That it's not about religion, it's not about doing good, it's not about being righteous that we can enter the kingdom of God. But it is by grace, through faith. When we say grace, it's a gift. We cannot earn it. We're still in the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. The book of Romans is the gospel according to grace. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Saving grace. Is this easy? Is saving grace easy? Max Lucado, in his book, No Wonder They Call Him Savior, he says this. One of the hardest things to do is to be saved by grace. There's something in us that reacts to God's free gift. We have some weird compulsion to create laws, systems, and regulations that will make us worthy of our gift. We take our free gift and try to earn it, or diagnose it, or pay for it, instead of simply saying thank you and accepting it. Why? Because of pride. To accept grace means to accept its necessity. To accept it means that one realizes his despair. Church, as I would always say, we are human being. But we tend to be human doing. It has been done. Salvation was carried by Christ in the cross. All we've got to do is to accept it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace through faith that you have been saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You would say you are righteous, but the word of God says, but your righteousness are as filthy rags before the Lord. You would say, but I'm not an unbeliever. Yes, go to a math class. It would not alter the fact that 1 + 3 = 4, even if you believe it or not. 1 + 3 = 4. 1 cross + 3 nails = 4 given. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. The cross of Jesus Christ. Remember the song? It would speak of the message of the cross. Only by grace, Lord, can we enter. That's the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do good works to be saved, but good works follow because you have Jesus in your life. Amen? But that's not the part that I'm going to preach, because that was saving grace, and we still need, if that grace we need to save us, we still need the grace to sustain us, to let us stand. That is why in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, to make you stand. Because we are not immune. Believers and unbelievers, we have problems. How many say you are not facing any difficulty right now? Maybe not now, but the spiritual weather woman would say, next week maybe, next month, or right after you go out of this room. We face difficulties. We face trials. If somebody has preached that, oh, come on, become a Christian, you will have no problem. That's not true. Because we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the practical application of sustaining grace and grace that would make us stand. Hallelujah. Let's start reading from verse 1. I must go on boasting. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Wow. Paul was talking in a third person. I know a man. And we know that he was that man. We know how Paul started his ministry. He had revelations and visions. Remember when he encountered the Lord in the road to Damascus? He had this vision. Remember he had the vision of Ananias coming to minister to him? Remember he also saw vision from God when he was called to minister to the Gentiles? Remember that when he was called to minister to Macedonia, he received vision too. When ministry was difficult in Corinth, God revealed to him things. So he was operating in these giftings. Remember that in the midst of the storm, the shipwreck, God told him, God assured him, you will be safe. So he had been operating on those gifts. And this time, he was not only having this earthly work, but he was caught up in paradise. He was caught up in paradise. And we read that he was able to hear secrets in heaven. Inexpressible things. He was there. But for 14 years, he said, for 14 years, I kept quiet. Would that make you proud to hear secrets from heaven? I tell you, one dead person come to life in this church, oh, everybody would know. I mean, he has every right to be proud of what the Lord has been doing in his life. But for 14 years, he did not say anything. And I believe that the secret to Paul's ministry was because of those inexpressible things that he had heard. That's why whether in need or whether in prosperity, Paul kept going. Shipwreck, torture, jail, he kept praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Now here, that could have made him proud. So here we saw Paul affirming reality of heaven. Whether you believe it or not, the Bible is true. Whether you would say, I don't believe in heaven, that does not change the reality that there is heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. So God permitted Paul to hear unspeakable words while he was in heaven. This could have made him proud, but Paul remained humble. Why? Because of God's goodness. How good the Lord is in Paul's lives. He was given a gift. You know what gift is that? A thorn in the flesh. It was given, so it's a gift. After paradise, he had this thorn. See? When he left heaven, after he heard about those inexpressible things, when he came back, he had these thorns. A thorn in the flesh. Most Bible scholars would debate on what kind of infirmity is this. They said it's an eye disease because in Galatians, Paul said, I have to write this in big letters. Some would say it's epilepsy. Some would say it's malaria. But I'm so glad that it did not specify anything. You know why? Because we can relate. Any suffering that we have, any testing, any thorn that we are experiencing, we can relate. Because if it would be eye, you would say, it was only for people with eye defects, so it won't concern me. But that thorn in the flesh, it did not specify. So it's, you can experience this, I can experience this. So we can learn lessons from here. God knows, if we have only blessings, we become proud. Amen? Hence we have this burden. Paul's thorn was given to him to keep him from sinning. Maybe you would say, maybe that's imaginary. Paul was only imagining he has thorn in the flesh. It's not imaginary, my friends. Three times he pleaded, take this away from me. Three times. So it has to be very painful. It has to be recurring. He doesn't know whether it would stay or it would go out, but it's there. And for him to plead three times, that would be painful. Amen? Thorn means a sharp stake used for torturing someone. Just a simple splinter, that hurts, right? But a thorn. I think thorn is very thick. Thorn in the flesh. Hallelujah. And look here. There was given me a thorn in my flesh. It's a gift. Okay? A messenger of Satan to torment me. Now here we see how sovereign the Lord is. He permitted the enemy. The proudest of all beings, Satan, to bring a message to keep Paul humble. See? Remember that Satan fell because of his pride? I want to be God. I want people to worship me. And God permitted him. If you're a child of God, no thorn in the flesh will be given to you except permitted by our loving Father. And three times Paul pleaded, take it away from me, take it away, how just like us. When we are in difficult situation, our normal reaction is for God to remove it. Take it, you know, substitute it. Substitute the pain with joy. Substitute the pain with healing. But God, in his ways, does not operate on substitution. He is more concerned with transformation. If you on a difficult situation right now, instead of blaming God, because that would be your reaction if you would always look for substitution. Why don't deserve this? Why, Lord, I've been working hard. I've been being good. I don't deserve this. Yeah, you don't deserve it. Because if God will give you what you deserve, we would not be here. Right? Right. Amen. If God has answered all my prayers, I would not have Brother Renan as a husband. But God in his grace, hallelujah, he did not answer my prayer. Now I have Renan. Hallelujah. He knows best. God knows best. We may not understand the thorn in the flesh. Three times Paul pleaded. And he did not get the answer that he wants. Remember, sometimes a prayer is directional. We tell God for direction how to answer a prayer. I remember a story. Their anniversary is coming. So this wife was so obsessed with having pearl that in her dream, he told her husband, you know, in my dream, I saw you giving me a pearl necklace that day on their anniversary. And the husband said, okay, you will see that tonight. You will see that tonight. So she was so excited. She was imagining what kind of pearl. Would it be black pearl? Would it be white pearl? Would it be a necklace? Would it be earrings? You know, and come that night, he received a big box. Oh, yes, this is big. Maybe a necklace with a pair of earrings. That's good. But when he opened it, he got a book. How to interpret your dreams. She did not get what she wants. So Paul here was saying, take this away from me. Take this. And God answered him. on the way He wants it. In your prayer, maybe you are expecting that specific answer. Maybe this is how the Lord would answer my prayer. Maybe this is good for me. Maybe this kind of answer. My friend, you know what happened? And I'm so glad Paul came to the right person. He pleaded unto the Lord. He prayed. He prayed. And what answer did he get? Was the thorn removed? No. What was the answer? Christ himself. God himself. Not the removal of the thorn, but Christ's revelation of himself. My grace. My grace is sufficient for you. And what is that grace? God's provision in that point of need. If there is one person who is in need of grace right now, it's me and my family, because we ended up working until 1 a.m. Because we have to provide for people when we go back home. But my grace is sufficient for me. Don't blame God if you know who God is in your life. His grace is sufficient. Never ending. Sufficient. Doesn't run out. See? It's just like saying, Lord, what is heaven without you? Amen? As a famous preacher said, P.T. Forsyth, he said, it is a greater thing to pray for pain's conversion than its removal. Never let any circumstance in your life pass without learning something, without having a character of Jesus in you. Because that's the very purpose why God sent the thorn in the flesh of Paul, for him not to boast. See? Because God knows that Paul would boast. He has this great revelation. He had heard inexpressible things. His ministry was so good. But that thorn kept him humble. Because of God's goodness. He did not blame God. But he said here, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Not because he loves pain. Not because he loves suffering. But he knows that in those suffering and in those pain, a character, a likeness of Jesus will be formed in his life. Amen. Are you still there? I'm nervous because you are so quiet. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. I hope the Lord is ministering. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God does not give us his grace simply that we might endure suffering. Because unconverted people can manifest great endurance. There are unbelievers, there are non-Christians, they also can endure suffering. But God's grace, this grace, this sufficiency of God's grace, should enable us to rise above our circumstance. Yes. God wants to build a character in us to be more like Jesus. Yes. He loves us. He loves you and me just the way we are. Yes. Don't forget that. But he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants to mature us. Amen. I tell you, it's so difficult to run a kindergarten. I have been a babysitter for 11 years, and my prayer was that, oh, I hope they would grow, you know, that quick. Hallelujah. So God wants us to mature. That's why he sent this thorn in the flesh. But if we only look for substitution, God remove this, God remove this, God remove this, I tell you, you would blame God. You would not grow. But ask for transformation. Lord, what can I learn? What character are you building in me through this circumstance? And that's what happened to Paul. I know now. I know the purpose of this thorn, that I would not be proud. That's why he said here, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Not because he was psychologically unbalanced, that he enjoyed pain, but he was suffering for Jesus' sake. He was glorifying God by accepting difficult experience of life. Amen? It's so easy to rejoice when all things are well. But it's difficult. I remembered the missionary trip of in Cambodia, Lord help me, Melissa, he said it is there that she really cried out to the Lord. It's, you know, if you have not cried out to the Lord, come with us and have a missionary trip to, you know, third world countries. But I tell you, when we came here from the third world, to this superpower nation, you think we did not cry out to God for help? Not because we are in need, but because we tend to be self-sufficient. And that's very, very difficult. Because in your self-sufficiency, you won't have a need for God. Remember what Solomon said, Lord, neither in poverty nor riches, lest I forget you. But I tell you, how many of you cried out greatly when you were in need than when you were self-sufficient? When you were in need. So whether in abundance or whether in want, we still need the grace of God. And his promises. God gave Paul no explanation. Because Christians, we don't leave an explanation. We stand on the promises of God. And his promises, they are yes and amen. And we can trust his word because his word is true. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Stand not on explanation. We can always rest in God's word for message of encouragement in times of trial. Get on the word. Get on the word of God. When things, you know, when things get harder, when you're in the fiery furnace, we have God's word. can talk to us. He can encourage us. He can reveal himself to us, just as he revealed himself to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. There is something worse than sickness. There is something worse than thorn in the flesh. And you know what that is? Sin. And the worst sin of all is pride. You think you can go solo without God? No. That's why Solomon in his wisdom said, wrote this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Church, you cannot do it solo. The same saving grace that gave you the gift of eternal life is the same grace that can make us live victoriously in Christ. The healthy person who is rebelling against God is in worse shape than the suffering person who is submitting to God and enjoying his grace. There are many of us here who think you walk freely and would say, oh, those in prison, they would be prisoners. I let you know, there are people in prison cells who are more free than us who walk freely here, but still imprisoned with sin, with pride, with jealousy, you know, with rebellion. And we can only be set free by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. Max Lucado said, be like Barabbas. You know who Barabbas is? Remember? Crucify him. Crucify him. You know? Whom am I going to set free? Free Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. He experienced God's grace. He was not crucified because Jesus took his place. The man he never met. The man he never knew. But he said, I'll take it. Thank you. See? And he was free. How about us? How about you? The Savior is saying, here's the free gift. Don't depend on your good works. Don't depend on your righteousness. Don't even depend on your religion. Because it's more of a relationship. It's a free gift. All you've got to do is to get it and say, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive it. And for you who just heard this gospel, it's a challenge for you. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If there are people here who said, I have my religion, I'm a good person, I don't kill, I don't, you only lie, you know, because the Bible says, he says, you have no sin, is a liar. And liars go to hell. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So we need a Savior. That is why Jesus Christ came. Why won't you give him a chance in your life right now? Why won't you be like Barabbas? Yes, Lord. The other thief. Take me with you to paradise. He was not baptized. He did not go into communion. He was not confirmed. He was there hanging because he's a thief, right? He did not do any good works. But he just acknowledged the work of Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus said? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, friends, you do not know what would happen to you. I have a friend who just called me. Jess, my husband in the Philippines, he was shot to death. Please take me here. I need encouragement. So she's 48 years old, gunned down to death because of a piece of land. So you do not know what would happen to you when you go out, when after this, but the life that is placed in God's hand has the assurance today you will be with me in paradise. And if you're that person, be brave. Step out of faith and say, yes, I'll do it. I received that free gift. You could not earn it. Jesus died and Jesus did it for you. And if he's going to go back to the cross again, he's still going to do it for you because he loves you. And don't ever think that because you have that thorn in the flesh, he left you. No. His grace is sufficient for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us, oh God, your sustaining grace, your sufficient grace, oh God, we need. Thank you, Lord, because we have the assurance that we can come unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And your word, Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life. So I pray, Father God, only by grace can we enter, Lord. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human working, not by our good deeds, Lord, but by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would minister to every heart, even to those, Lord, who have experienced your saving grace. I pray, Father God, that you would minister to the thorn in the flesh. And help us, Lord, help us that as we embrace our inadequacies, Lord, your grace will abound. And like Paul, Lord, it is when we are weak that we are strong because of your strength in us. Thank you, God. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.